This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are listening to Generation Nexus, 21 minutes to 8. You're joined tonight by Dylan, Maddie, and Eleanor. And joining us right now is the Liberal Member of Parliament for Perrin, Clem Newton-Brown. Welcome to Generation Next.
Hi, great to be here.
Excellent. Now, the reason why we've asked you to come along to the show, because the Victorian Parliament has amended the Mental Health Bill, stating that refusing to express a set sexual preference or gender identity does not constitute mental illness. What information can you extend to our listeners about this topic?
Yeah, look, this is a bill that passed through the Parliament in the last week or two, and it's about the definition of what is a mental illness, and the Mental Health Act sets out what is not a mental illness, and it currently states that sexual preference or sexual orientation is not deemed to be a mental illness, which is good, but it didn't have in there that gender identity is not a mental illness. So when this bill was passing through the House, it was we were lobbied by a number of people in the transgender community, and the Health Minister, Davis, had a Minister Advisory Committee who advised them on it as well.
Oh, hi, I'm on that committee.
Oh, hi, yes. Oh, well, you'll be well aware of the issues then. And as a result of various representations, a change was inserted into the Act so that people who had a gender identity could not be seen as a mental illness.
Yeah. So how would you respond to critics who say that your support for the LGBTI community is more bark than actual bite, or so to speak?
Well, who says that?
Well,
if we look at
the Liberal Party, has a very proud history of support for the LGBTI community, starting back in the 1980s when it was Dick Hamer, the first Liberal Premier in Australia, to decriminalise gay sex, and that was a really significant move many decades ago. And for 30 years, these men who had convictions before it was decriminalised had these convictions on their records, and it was Premier Napthine who, just this year at midsummer, announced that the Napthine Liberal government would expunge these convictions, and this is something which has been called for a long time.
That's all well and good, but what would you say about the current Prime Minister Tony Abbott's staunch refusal to support marriage equality?
Well, let's go back a step. The Labor Party was in government. They had the numbers, and they could have got marriage equality through. But what they did was they made it a conscience vote, which doomed it to failure. Now, I'm personally very supportive of marriage equality, and as are many of my colleagues in the Liberal Party. And what the Prime Minister has said, that when this issue comes up, it will be a matter for the party room as to whether it's a conscience vote or not. And that's really the key to it. If both parties are having a conscience vote, then that's the key to getting over the line. I'm certainly doing all I can to lobby my federal colleagues to get that conscience vote. And indeed, I think there's the issue is being debated at a state council for the Liberal Party this weekend by the motion put up by the Young Liberals.
Clem, we've just got to go to some important announcements, but are you able to stick around for a bit so we can continue this chat?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to Generation Next, a show for charismatic, charming, attractive, funny young people like myself on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for that, Joel. It is 16 minutes to 8 and you're smack bang in the middle of our chat on Generation Next with State Liberal Member of Parliament for Perrin, Clem Newton-Brown. Thanks for sticking around for it with us. Now, what we were talking about at the break is regarding gender diversity and the amendment to the bill stating that refusing to express a set sexual preference or gender identity does not constitute as mental illness. Just in case anyone missed out on that initial part of the chat, can you just refresh what that amendment meant?
Well, basically, it's stating that you're deemed not to have a a mental illness by virtue of your gender identity. So it makes it crystal clear that if you're trans, you are not considered by government or the community to have a mental illness. And this is a small change, but I think it's very important for the trans community. The trans community is very misunderstood. I mean, I've been educated by people like Sally Goldner over the course of my term in government, and certainly it's the LGBTI rolls off your tongue, and you people just don't. The L and the G and the B are easy to understand. The T is not so easy to understand. And, for those people who aren't fully up on what transgender means, basically it's where your sense of gender differs from the expectations given your physical attributes at birth. And a lot of people think it's synonymous with being a drag queen, and that's just not the case. So sure, there are some transgender people who perform as drag queens, but the vast majority of people who are transgender, it's not about getting up and lip syncing and being a performer. It's how they feel themselves within themselves, and we've made it crystal clear that could not constitute a mental illness.
That, and which is a great move for our LGBTI communities. When we're looking at, say, because I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the there was an e-zine that was passed around some schools that was also quite religious, and it was passed around, say, pretty much with a religious agenda, denoting same-sex attraction and gender diversity. And I just like to reference in, say, school chaplains and religious bodies having a placement and visibility in non-religious schools. And they're able to promote their staff, and they are able to promote their staff to subscribe to religious doctrines, including not promoting gender and sexual diversity. Do you feel that these religious bodies, or anybody with a set agenda that is predispositioned towards discrimination, should they still be granted government funding?
Look, I think the issue here is that for kids who are same-sex attracted, they're more than five times likely to attempt suicide than heterosexually attracted kids. So that's the starting point. Is this is an issue which costs lives. So it's very important that people feel included. It's very important that they don't go to school and feel that that they're not accepted. And we've just had last weekend the same-sex formal, which is run by Minus 18, which is an organisation.
It was magical.
Yeah, Eleanor just started doing a little chair dance.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it, but certainly Micah, I met after I was elected, and he was running this group unfunded, and I was just one of the proudest things I've ever achieved is to give some funding to Micah and Minus 18, which has now got recurrent funding and has a board, and it's a really solid organisation, because it's addressing the issues before addressing people's identity and their sense of self-worth and inclusion before it becomes a mental health issue for them, and I think that's hugely important. So look, schools are where you've got to feel safe, you've got to be included, and there are many people who are of the LGBTI community who no doubt had terrible experiences at school, and there's other programs such as Safe Schools Coalition, which provides great services to schools to programs. So schools have got kids who are same-sex attracted, and they don't know how to deal with it. They've got the support there to guide the school community through to make sure that these kids feel welcome.
Yeah, I was on the Minus 18 committee for 4 years, and it was one of the proudest things I've ever done.
It's an amazing organisation.
Just to finish up, right now there's a number of young, gender-diverse people and people who identify from an array of sexual orientations listening. What confidence can you give these young individuals that the Liberal government have their support as an equal member of society?
There's so many things that we've done. I mentioned a few earlier in the interview, but there's other things such as setting up Pronto, which is the first in Australia for a rapid testing HIV, which is something which hasn't been done before in Australia, and it's a significant issue for the community. But I suppose the limited time I've got, the really significant thing which I think should be taken away is that the Premier of the state turned up at Midsummer this year. Now, Midsummer's been going 26 years, and many of your listeners may not have been there for all of those 26 years, but there has never been a Victorian Premier turn up. Now, we've got a middle-aged heterosexual country vet who is the premier, and he turned up. He walked with me through the stalls. He chatted to people, and he showed by those actions that he is here to govern for all Victorians. And no other premier has ever had the guts to turn up. He's turned up. He opened it, and not only did he turn up, but he also announced that we would expunge those convictions of people who were convicted of gay sex before it was decriminalised back in the early 1980s. So I think he's showing by his actions that he's governing for all Victoria.
Clem, thank you so much for spending some time on Generation Next.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.